There comes a time when enough is enough. It comes a time when somebody stands up and they say, this can't continue to go on. There comes a time that even in a day when the slogan was separate but equal. And as we look back at the history books, we see it was everything but that. There comes a day when receiving second hand and third hand and fourth hand school books, when receiving inferior educational equipment is over. There comes a time when somebody gets fed up about all that that's going on and they say, enough is enough. It's time to fight this.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series, Redeeming the Time. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of A Time to Fight.
My name is David. I am the son of Jesse. My father had 8 children. I had 3 older brothers, and they were fighting in the army of Saul. One day my father came to me, and he said that I have some supplies that I want you to take to your brothers on the front line. So early the next morning, I got up, and I found someone to watch the sheep. And I went down to the front lines where my brothers and the rest of the Israelite army were fighting. I took the supplies and I left them with the keeper. And I looked down on the front line where my brothers were, and behold, I saw a tremendous sight. There was a valley. This valley is called the Valley of Elah. And on one side of the valley was the Philistine army, and they were all standing in a straight line. And on the other side of the valley was my guys, were the Israelites. And lo and behold, they were all standing in a straight line. And I went down and I started talking to my brothers. And I just wanted to find out, because my dad had given me prior instructions that I needed to find out how they were doing, you know, what they needed. And so I was talking to them. And just about the time I was talking to them, this big giant began to walk out of the line of the Philistines and approach the Israelite army. And he began to say, who wants to challenge me today? Who wants to fight me today? And to me, a young boy, this was an awesome sight. This giant was about 9 feet tall. He had a coat of armor, and some people said that the armor weighed at least 125 pounds. But the thing that stuck in my mind, the thing that gripped me the most, is that he had a spear, and the tip of the spear weighed about 15 pounds. And I felt sorry for anybody who got struck with this spear. So as he began to talk against God and talk against the armies of God, I turned to some of the other men in the army and I said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's taunting the armies of the living God? And my brother knew that, or he felt that I was out of place. And so he began to rebuke me. And he said, why did you come down here? You just came down to cause trouble. It's because of your pride and your conceit that you came down here today. And besides that, who's watching those sheep back in Dad's field? And, you know, I just kind of ignored him because I saw that there was something more important going on. There was this giant who was not only defying the armies of God, but he was defying the living God himself. And I began to ask questions, and I began to talk out loud. And one of the servants heard me talking. And he went and told Saul. And the next thing I know, they were ushering me into the presence of Saul. And I thought to myself, wow, what in the world is going to happen to me now? Maybe I should have just kept my mouth shut. And Saul began to ask me questions, and I just told him what the deal was. I said, I can't believe that there's a giant out there defying the armies of the living God. I'm going to go fight him. I'm going to go against him. And Saul said, you can't do that. You're just a young boy. You can't fight against him. I don't care what you say, Saul. I had it made up in my mind that I love God so much. And I sat on those hills of Bethlehem, and I wrote songs to God, and I sang those songs at night, and I saw how God took care of me, and I'm going to go out there and fight this giant. And Saul said, you can't do that. And I said, let me tell you something about my God, Saul, that there was one on a couple of occasions that I was out in the field, and I was watching my father's sheep, and a lion and a bear came. And they swooped up the sheep, and they ran away. And at first, I stood there and watched them, and something got in my spirit. And I said, I'm just not going to let them come and take my father's sheep. And I went, and as I chased them, I was able to get the sheep away from them. But don't you know, it wouldn't have happened that both that lion and that bear, they turned on me, and they started coming at me. And I called on the name of the Lord. And by the power of God, I was able to kill the lion and I was able to kill the bear. And Saul, let me tell you something. If God helped me to kill a lion and a bear, then I know that he'll help me to take care of this uncircumcised Philistine that's taunting the armies of God. And so Saul said, well, you know, look like you got your mind made up and I can't stop you. So he gave me his armor. And I tried it on and walked around, and it was kind of bulky, and it didn't fit right. And I said, well, you know, I've never worn armor before, and I've seen God do great things. Saul, take your armor back. I can't use it. Saul said, well, what are you going to do then? He said, I've got my slingshot, I've got my pouch, and I've got 5 stones. And so Saul said, go. And as I went out there, the armies were lined up again on each side, and the giant was still out there. As we used to say when I was younger, selling wolf tickets. And I began to move toward the giant. And as I moved toward the giant, he began to laugh. And he said, who is this little ruddy boy that's coming out here? Don't you guys have a man that you can send out here? He said, and besides that, what am I, a dog, that you want to come and fight against me with a stick? I tell you what, son, I'm going to tear your hide from limb to limb, and I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Man, when he said that, man, my heart kind of jumped. But I knew that God was going to be with me, and I knew that God was going to take care of me. And somewhere, God gave me the courage to shout out to this giant that by the end of the day, that I'm going to kill you. And not only am I going to kill you, but I'm going to chop your head off. And I'm going to feed your body to the fowl of the air and to the beasts of the field. And so the giant, he came at me. And I reached into my pouch, and I took my sling, and I put that stone in there, and with everything I had, I whirled it, and I let it go. Now, I'm glad I had 4, but God let me do it in 1. And it hit that giant right in the middle of his forehead, and the next thing I know that he fell to the ground, and I took my sword and went up and cut off his head. And then the Israelite army began to just swarm on the Philistines. And they ran, and we captured every last one of them. And that day, there was a great victory in Israel. And I've come to talk to you on this subject today. There comes a time that we need to fight. A time that we need to fight. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, Solomon the writer He says, to everything there is a season, and to every purpose unto heaven, under heaven. And then down in verse 8, he says that there's a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And this morning I want to talk about when it comes time to fight. We've been doing this series, Redeeming the Times, and you know, sometimes we got to stand up and fight. There may be things that are going on in our lives, or maybe we see things that happen around us that we realize that somebody needs to intervene. There comes a time when, like we heard in the video clip that was played before us, when they were letting the little black children have to walk 7 or 8 blocks to catch a bus that was 1.5 miles, 2 miles away, in the cold, in the rain, when there was a perfectly good school 1 or 2 blocks away. Somebody looked up and somebody said, there comes a time when enough is enough. It comes a time when somebody stands up and they say, this can't continue to go on. There comes a time that even in a day when the slogan was separate but equal, and as we look back at the history books, we see it was everything but that. There comes a day when receiving second hand and third hand and fourth hand school books, when receiving inferior educational equipment is over. There comes a time when somebody gets fed up about all that's going on and they say, enough is enough. It's time to fight this. And there may be stuff that's going on in our own personal lives right now that's keeping us back from doing all that God would have us to do. And somewhere in our spirit, we need to say, enough is enough. We may see injustices taking place all around us, see things happening that are wicked and evil, and there comes a time when we have to say, enough is enough. There was a YouTube video out, and believe me, I don't promote violence. I don't promote fighting. But there was a YouTube video out, and the only reason I saw it because it came on Good Morning America, and I usually try to catch the news in the morning. And it was about this heavyset boy in Australia, and he was maybe 12, 13 years of age, big heavyset guy. And they were taunting him. And this little boy, who was probably a little skinny boy, probably same age, but he came up and he grabbed him by the throat. And he told his friends, look, video this, video this. And they had the video cameras on it. And he went up to this big heavyset guy and he started slapping him in the face. And he slapped him in the face. And then he started punching him in the stomach, and then he started punching him in the face. And I guess this heavyset guy said, you know what? Enough is enough. And he grabbed this little joker and picked him up and slammed him on the ground. Now, again, I'm not advocating that, and I think there's other ways to handle that than what he did. But all I'm saying is he came to the point where he said, enough is enough. And I think that in our lives that sometimes, again, I repeat, I'm not promoting any violence, all right? But I'm promoting the attitude that we say sometimes, enough is enough. And I believe that's what's going on here with David. I believe that David is looking at the Philistine taunting the armies of God, and David loved his God. David had a special relationship with God. As a matter of fact, David is known as the sweet psalmist of Israel because he sang so many love songs, especially as we find written in the Psalms. He sang those to God as he sat out on the hills of Bethlehem. And he had this special relationship with God, and it just hurt him to his heart that somebody would actually stand out and take God's name in vain and defy the people of God and defy the armies of God. And David said, enough is enough. it's time to fight. And I ask myself the question, when is it time to fight? When is it time to fight? When you are not living up to your full potential, whether it's because of slothfulness, or it's because of sin, or it's because of something that's within you, that's blocking you from being all that God would have you to be. My brothers and sisters, it's time to fight. It's time for you to say, enough is enough. It's time, even when it comes down to yourself, that maybe you need to go look in the mirror and you need to look at yourself and you need to say, I'm tired of living the way I'm living. I'm tired of allowing this sin to continue to grab me by the throat and punch me in the face. I'm tired of allowing slothfulness to keep me from all the things that God has for me. I'm tired of not reaching the full potential that God has in store for my life. Enough is enough. And sometimes we have to fight the enemy of self. Because many of us need to be realistic and just go ahead and say it, that I'm my worst enemy. That when I look in the mirror, I can say, I have seen the enemy, and I is they. And that, you know, that's a time to fight. Another time when it's fighting, put time to put the gloves on, is when you see injustices taking place, and you have the power to do something about it. When you see injustices taking place, and you have the power to do something about it. I remember, let me start by saying this. I make no bones about it. I'm pro-life pastor. No question about that. I'm pro-life, and I'm going to be pro-life to the end. And I remember when I was in seminary, and I used to see all the heartache and all the devastation that abortion was wreaking in the lives of women, and how that little babies were being killed. And again, you know, I've studied this out, so if you want more information, I did a whole study, brochure and everything, where it's a documented from the Bible, that's life in the womb. That's God's life in the womb. And, you know, and I just want to say this, because I know this is a big-sized congregation, and there may be someone here who has had an abortion. I just want to say that we thank God that he's a loving God, and that God is, he says, come on to me. All you that are labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He said, come unto me. So if you are the victim of that, then I just want to assure you of the love of God and that God loves you with all of his heart. But I remember seeing that when I was in seminary, and I said, Lord, whenever I get to the place where I can have a voice and I can say something about that, Lord, I'm going to speak up on it. And just a couple of years ago, with all the things that I have on my schedule, I'm the pastor of Bethany Baptist Church, I'm the president of the Homewood Ministerium, I'm the chairman of the board for the Center of Biblical Urban Ministry, I teach at the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary. These are all things that I do outside of Bethany. I'm a part of a group, the Heart and Healthy Souls, which is a health initiative in the black community. So all these things, and so another opportunity comes up with the Women's Choice Network. And they came and asked me would I be a board member. And I prayed about that, and God took my mind back to what I told him when I was in seminary. And I said, I can't turn this opportunity down, because this is something that is very near and dear to my heart. And so when you look around and you see injustices that are taking place, you know that it's time to fight. And the beautiful thing I like about this organization is that they not only encourage young ladies to choose life, but then they walk with them all the way. I mean, they will, from the time go, when they sign up, they will spend time with them. They will take them to doctor's appointments. They will give them all the material, physical, whatever needs they have, and they will see them all the way through when that child is born and even after that. And I said, oh, that's a cause right there I can fight for. That's something that I can stand for. And so when we look around and we see injustices taking place and we have the power to do something about it, it's time to fight. It's time to fight. When you look around and you see evil causes that are overcoming godly causes, it's time to fight. And so we realize that I'm not talking this morning about putting on the gloves and putting on the outfit and going and fighting. I'm talking about taking this fight in front of the Lord, before the Lord, and doing what you can to make a difference in the lives of people, in the lives of this world, that you are doing whatever you can to make a difference. And so I realize that there are causes that we can fight for. And what are some of the causes that we can fight for? And I ask the question, have you been captured by a cause? Have you been captured by something that is bigger than you? Are you a part of something that you know that it's not going to happen unless God helps you? You know, if you think about Brown versus the Board of Education, and you think about that was a colossal cause. You know, the lady whose daughter almost got hit by the car getting off of the school bus, and she said enough is enough, and she decided to take on that cause. That was a cause that was a whole lot bigger than her. It was a whole lot bigger than her. And so sometimes you have to get involved in some things that, unless God does it, unless God is involved, it's not going to happen. And I thank God that as the pastor of this church, that we have stepped out on faith and we have gotten involved in some things that if God doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. That if he doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. And that we should be so dependent on God that if there's any ounce of flesh in it, then we don't want it. But we want to be totally surrendered and dedicated to God. Being captured by a cause is something that touches every area of your life. Something that you wake up in the morning thinking about how you can make a difference in this area. I like what Dave Dawson, he came here last year and did the series for us on discipleship. And I remember what he said. He said he wakes up in the morning thinking discipleship. That when I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking discipleship. And so you have to be captured by a cause that consumes you. Again, not to the neglect of your family, your employment, and other things, but just something that is driving you in life. I made a statement, I think it was last year, that if you show me two things, I can tell you what your passion is. If you show me your checkbook and your calendar, I can show you what your passion is. Because that tells exactly, you know, what's driving you. And then number three, give yourself to something that's worth living for and that's worth dying for. I like what Vince Lombardi said. He said, I firmly believe that any man's finest hours, his greatest fulfillment of all he holds dear, is the moment when he has worked his heart out in a good cause and lies exhausted on the field of battle, victorious. That's what it's all about right there. Giving your all. That you have found something that drives you. You have found something that inspires you, and that you give every last thing that you have.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of A Time to Fight. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, A Time to Fight, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Time to Fight. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Time to Fight. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.